Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Taoiseach says time limits will not be put in place for diners when restaurants and pubs reopen next month. The hackers at the centre of the HSE cyber attack have shared people's private and sensitive information online with a newspaper. The jurors in the trial of a woman accused of murdering her three children in County Dublin have retired to begin their deliberations. The children's father is from Donegal. The Dáil will approve an emergency financial resolution this evening to increase the stamp duty paid on the bulk purchase of homes, and the Dáil is told that water and wastewater issues in Inishowen and Letterkenny are a mess. All those stories to come, and later in the bulletin we'll have the sports news with Oisín. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the Taoiseach's comments this afternoon that time limits will not be in place for diners when restaurants and pubs reopen next month. Premises won't have to serve a €9 substantial meal or limit capacity if they have the space. Outdoor dining services are due to reopen on the 7th of June. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says he believes indoor dining will not be far behind, even though hotels will be allowed to have it from June 2nd.
My priority now, rather than having a complicated set of criteria for a 2 or 3 week period, is to get the decision to allow restaurants and pubs to open indoors. And, you know, I think if they knew they were going to be able to do that in the first week or so of July, that 2 or 3 week period might be more acceptable.
Pfizer is to start making its COVID-19 vaccine in Ireland. 75 new jobs will be created at the pharmaceutical company's facility in Grange Castle, Dublin, to help with development. Pfizer will start producing substances for the vaccine at the site by the end of the year. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has welcomed the news. He said it puts Ireland at the heart of the EU's fight against the COVID-19 pandemic. The hackers at the centre of the HSE cyber attack have shared people's private and sensitive information online with a newspaper. The Department of Communications says this is often done in a bid to persuade organisations to pay a ransom. With more, here's Stephanie Rowan.
The HSE hackers have now shown their hand to prove they have people's private medical information. They showed the Financial Times 27 files in total, with the personal records of 12 people. They contained patient information, minutes of meetings, and equipment purchase details. The link has since been emptied. Reporter Laura Noonan with the Financial Times says the hackers have proven their point.
I mean, these are horrible files to read. It's basically reading some of the most personal details of someone's life. And the idea that that information could be published and made available for a wide group of people to read is just horrible for anyone to consider.
This is now significantly upping the ante on the government, which has repeatedly insisted it won't pay the ransom, which is reported to be $20 million. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue is condemning the latest developments.
This is an awful crime, and it is a particularly pitiless and heinous attack on a health service when it is still flat out dealing with a pandemic.
Security officials here say they will try and identify any data leaks online and take measures to limit their exposure.
Well, the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital has confirmed that no services will resume at the hospital this week as a result of the ongoing impact of the cyber attack. All outpatient, diagnostic and endoscopy clinics at the hospital have been cancelled. Elective inpatient and day case procedures have also been cancelled. A small number of procedures may go ahead, but patients will be contacted directly in that instance. Meanwhile, maternity services and dialysis treatment are continuing at the hospital as normal. Patients are being advised to attend their chemotherapy appointments unless contacted and told otherwise. Breast check appointments are going ahead in the mobile unit in Letterkenny, but breast care appointments at the hospital are not proceeding. The emergency department at the hospital is open, but people are being warned that there will be lengthy delays as there will not be access to medical files, and any tests or scans that are necessary will take a lot longer to process. As a result, people are being asked in the first instance to go to their GP, GP out of hours service or NowDoc service as appropriate. Well, earlier today on the 9 till noon show, Sean Murphy, the University Hospital's general manager, said the cyber attack has significantly slowed down all everyday processes at the hospital.
a patient had 30 different tests from the one sample of blood. Each one of those has got to be handwritten, then typed into the analyzer, and it'll get 30 sheets of paper out, not one electronic feed in back to the emergency department, 30 sheets of paper, which have then got to be brought back to the emergency department and gone through by the doctor to actually look and see the results and compare the results. You can imagine how much that slows things down. Without being terribly familiar with our systems, I think people can imagine that will have a huge impact. Another very simple example, if somebody has an x-ray, in the past, the x-ray and the report would be put up on the screen in the emergency department or in the ward or in the outpatient clinic. We can't do that at the moment. Somebody has an x-ray, the report has got to be handwritten. The doctor can only see the x-ray by going down to the x-ray department and looking at it on the machine that took the x-ray. So can you imagine how many x-rays we do in the hospital each day, and every time the doctor's got to go down, and if two or three doctors come to look at the same machine at the same time, they've got to wait.
And that was Sean Murphy, the General Manager at Letterkenny University Hospital, speaking to Greg Hughes earlier today on the 9 till noon show. Well, as we said, a number of services have been compromised. The HSE, however, is saying that COVID-19 vaccine administration and COVID-19 tests are proceeding as normal this week and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. And the HSE says if you're attending a vaccine appointment, please do ensure that you have complied with all the requests in the confirmation text, particularly in terms of bringing photo ID. The jurors in the trial of a woman accused of murdering her three children in County Dublin have retired to begin their deliberations. Deirdre Morley of Parsons Court, Newcastle, County Dublin, has pleaded not guilty to murdering Connor, Dara and Carla McGinley by reason of insanity. Connor was 9 years old when she took his life on January 24th last year. Dara was 7 and Carla was just 3. The children's father, Andrew McGinley, is from Donegal Town. Two forensic psychiatrists believe she was suffering from a mental disorder at the time, but it's up to the jurors to decide if this special verdict applies. With more on today's evidence and a report that may be distressing, here's Frank Graney.
The court heard distressing evidence yesterday of how Deirdre Morley, a 44-year-old nurse, suffocated her three children at the family home on January 24th last year. Today, Dr. Brenda Wright, a forensic psychiatrist, told the jury that Ms. Morley had a history of depression, which she said became psychotic as time went on. By late 2019, she said she had developed delusional beliefs that her mental illness was damaging her children. She said those thoughts manifested to the point where she believed killing them urgently was absolutely necessary and she couldn't identify an alternative solution. Dr. Wright was also of the view that she wouldn't have been able to stop herself, and she was also satisfied that she met the criteria for the special verdict of not guilty by reason of insanity.
The Dáil will approve an emergency financial resolution this evening to increase the stamp duty paid on the bulk purchase of homes. It'll rise from 1 to 10% where 10 or more homes are being purchased. Opposition politicians say the measures don't go far enough to disincentivise investment funds from buying up large amounts of property. Taoiseach Micheál Martin hit back at Sinn Féin's criticism of the plan.
The deputy's response is now the typical Sinn Féin response. Oppose everything, prevaricate, delay, endeavour to exploit the housing crisis for its own political ends and electoral gain, as opposed to coming up with real solutions that matter out there.
Meanwhile, a housing expert says the government move is being done for the sake of appearances. The rule only applies to houses and does not apply to apartments. Architect Mel Reynolds says funds tend to buy apartments and he believes the change will be ineffective.
It's very visible. It makes a lot of sense to do it. It's probably the least intrusive to the business model for the funds and it's the most visible. So as a sort of political action to be seen to be doing something and not affect the market, really, it's probably the best thing for the politicians to have done.
The Dáil has heard that water and wastewater issues in Inishowen and Letterkenny are a mess. Donegal Deputy Patrick McLaughlin says Irish Water is under-resourced and has no plan in place to meet its responsibilities. Speaking during a motion on water and wastewater treatment services, he said thousands of homes in Inishowen suffer repeated water outages as guarantees to replace pipes from the Eddie Fullerton Dam have not been met. Deputy McLaughlin says the vision to extend Letterkenny is also not feasible. because, he says, Irish Water simply aren't putting in the resources necessary in Donegal.
If you took the case of South Inishowen, you had an adequate pipe infrastructure put in place there that has burst repeatedly. Now, this is the main trunk line from the Eddie Fullerton Dam to thousands of homes. They're regularly impacted by water bursts. Those pipes were to be replaced a number of years ago. I was given that guarantee in a meeting with Irish Water at the time. Now they're saying it's not going to be done anytime soon because there's even worse cases across the county. What a mess. But Letterkenny Town is our major gateway, our magnet for investment in the county. And you have a situation there where ultimately Irish Water are saying to me now, it's going to have to be developer-led. And that's a mess that has impacted Letterkenny in the past. Right now, the councillors in Letterkenny have a vision to extend the town southward, to develop lands for wastewater and for water. Irish Water can't do it. There's a whole area as you approach the town from the Buncrana direction and the Derry direction, all businesses and houses that are not connected to a state-of-the-art sewage treatment plant because the investment isn't there. So, Minister, I give you those examples of the mess that we're facing and the need for a plan and the need for resourcing.
Representatives of the Office of Public Works, meanwhile, are being asked to attend the next meeting of the Letterkenny and Milford Municipal District to brief members on the current status of the Letterkenny Flood Relief Scheme. The issue was raised at a recent meeting by Councillor Gerry McMonagall, who said with work continuing on the updating of the Letterkenny Area Plan, the input of the OPW is vital in terms of whether proposed provisions will be appropriate into the future.
It's very frustrating, and especially now when we in Letterkenny are putting together the local area plan and the future development of Letterkenny. And I think an important part of those plans will be the flood relief scheme and the areas that will be affected by it. We're trying to put the jigsaw together and there's a number of pieces missing, very important pieces. So that's why I've asked for the OPW to come into our next municipal district meeting to update us on as to where the scheme is at and when can it possibly be announced.
A number of members did point out that there are other issues that the OPW has involvement with in the town as well, and you and they would appreciate updates on those too. We're thinking of things like, for instance, the state of the bridge into Old Town.
It's a very important component parts, the Old Town Bridge, the future development of South Letterkenny. Most of the vehicle traffic, if not all, has to travel over and back the Old Town Bridge. We need to see, is it fit for purpose? Does it need to be expanded on? We also have the riverside walks that have been in the pipeline now for a number of years, and a number of groups are progressing those very, very well. We have to see how can that fit into our local area plan, what land will be needed, and what precautions need to be taken as regards the river, all the way up to the new mills and the mill buildings. There is a lot of discussions we've been having in and around the development of the future of Letterkenny, and the OPW are playing a significant part in this, and we need to have them in ASAP to ensure that the plan, when it's adopted, does not have to be revisited again.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all your training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's approaching 16 minutes past five and we say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with athletics. Mark English will continue to chase Olympic qualification in the Czech Republic tonight. The Finn Valley man will run the 800 metres at the Ostrava Golden Spike event. If he is to qualify automatically for Tokyo, he'll need to hit a time of 1:45.20. Scottish police are investigating an explosion and fire outside the home of Celtic Chief Executive Peter Lawwell earlier this morning. 8 fire engines were sent to the scene. A statement from the football club says there was significant damage to the property and vehicles nearby. It adds Mr. Lawwell is extremely shaken but safe. After Leicester City lost last night, Liverpool know that Champions League qualification is now in their own hands. The first of two remaining matches for the Reds is away to Burnley tonight. Diogo Jota will miss the match at Turf Moor, which is an 8:15 start. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp is uncomfortable discussing what it would mean for his side to finish in the Champions League places.
I really don't like these talks, like we would have made it already before we play Burnley. That's, and Crystal Palace then. That's absolutely, that would be, in my mind, at least disrespectful.
In the evening's other fixtures, Tottenham play Aston Villa, Everton meet Wolves and Newcastle take on Sheffield United. Those three games are at 6 o'clock. At 7, Crystal Palace welcome Arsenal to Selhurst Park for what will be Roy Hodgson's last home game in charge. And also at 8.15 tonight, West Brom entertain West Ham. Dennis Bergkamp and Frank Lampard are the latest two inductees into the Premier League Hall of Fame. Dutch striker Bergkamp was part of the Arsenal Invincible side that won the title without losing a game in the 03-04 season, while Lampard scored 177 top division goals across his spells with Chelsea, West Ham and Manchester City, as well as winning three titles. The Republic of Ireland's friendlies against Andorra and Hungary have been confirmed. Stephen Kenny's side will hold a training camp in Girona, Spain from May 28th. They will then face Andorra on Thursday, June 30th in Barcelona before travelling to Budapest to meet Hungary on Tuesday, the 8th of June. Meanwhile, Northern Ireland's scheduled international friendly away to Turkey on May the 31st has been called off due to coronavirus restrictions. They will now face Malta on the same date behind closed doors in Austria. Mona McSharry will be back in the pool in just under 10 minutes time in Hungary. She, of course, goes in the final of the 100 metres breaststroke at the European Aquatic Championships. McSharry was the sixth fastest time in the semi-finals to qualify for that final, where she's looking for a medal. Wexford GA chairman Michael Martin is confident that Sunday's Alliance Hurling League clash with Kilkenny can still go ahead. He has confirmed today that two members of Davy Fitzgerald's panel has tested positive for COVID-19, but believes the game can still continue with a scheduled time this coming Sunday. In cycling, Dan Martin's Giro d'Italia hopes suffered a huge blow in today's 11th stage. The Irish rider lost more than 6 minutes to the pink jersey holder, who is Egan Bernal, and he now sits 18th in general classification. Bernal holds a 45-second lead over Alexander Velos after a stage won by Mario Schmidt. And finally, in rugby, 16,500 fans will be allowed into Murrayfield to watch the Lions play their opening warm-up match against Japan. Social distancing rules will be in place for the game in Edinburgh on June 26th. The Lions, of course, head to South Africa for their test series in the month of July. That's your sport for today, Donal. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Washing. Traffic is moving normally at Polestar Roundabout in Letterkenny after a collision this afternoon. Heavy traffic had been reported in the wake of the crash, which happened at around 3. There were no injuries reported. No injuries either in Fintown, where the road is now fully open after an earlier incident. It's understood a motorcycle and a car were involved in a collision close to a coffee facility near the post office. That happened shortly after lunchtime today. The coffee stall is trading normally. The sod has been turned on a new shorefront amenity development in Arranmore as part of the €4.1 million Harbour to Island Rural Regeneration Project. A landmark recreation, outdoor amenity and amphitheatre will be developed. With more details, here's Anya Midlinchy.
The ambitious development in Arranmore was first identified in the development plan for the island by Core Common Arranmore Show, but did not progress in the absence of a capital funding source. The project is co-funded by Donegal County Council and the Department of Rural and Community Development in partnership between Donegal County Council and Core Common. John McLaughlin, Chief Executive of Donegal County Council, says he has every confidence that this new amenity will enhance the quality of life for residents of the island and will both stimulate and support new and emerging business in the tourism, hospitality, leisure and related sectors. Donegal-based building contractors Joseph McMenamin and Sons Limited have been appointed to deliver the development, which is scheduled to complete over the next 31 weeks.
That report from Anya Midlinchy. A section of council-owned land in Carndonagh is being considered for the development of a new Gartha station. It's been confirmed that Donegal County Council and Gartha Síochána and the OPW are working to progress the project, which has been included in the upcoming Gartha building and refurbishment programme. The existing station in Carndonagh was previously deemed unfit for purpose by Chief Superintendent Terry McGinn. Cathaoirleach of Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Albert Doherty, says all resources must be used to bring the project to fruition as quickly as possible.
Confirm that there is a piece of council land that has been explored by OPW, by Gardaí authorities, and I'm hoping that this is the beginning now of a confirmation that we are in the next building programme, and that we can assist either as council and local people to make sure that a modern Garda station with proper facilities is there for the personnel and the people of the peninsula.
And indeed, it's vital now that the pressure remains on to get this moving, as there is serious health and safety concerns around the existing station.
Yes, the existing station served its time and, in the words of the Chief Superintendent, is no longer fit for purpose. Therefore, it's incumbent on the government, it's incumbent on the Garda authorities that we do have proper facilities for the people of Carndonagh and for North Inishowen, and that must be with the realisation we require a new Garda station in the Carndonagh area. If anything can be done to advance this, then those roads must be taken, and that's at cabinet level by government, at council level with assisting Garda authorities, and locally as well, to ensure that we have proper Garda facilities very, very soon in the Carndonagh and North Inishowen area.
And that was Councillor Albert Doherty speaking to Michaela Clark. A Donegal deputy says the government needs assurances from the British government that it will not seek to curtail further legacy inquests. Deputy Thomas Pringle was speaking in the Dáil during statements on the Ballymurphy inquest, which last week found 10 people killed in the Ballymurphy massacre in 1971 were entirely innocent. He also questioned how strong the warning from the Taoiseach to the British Prime Minister was against an amnesty for soldiers accused of crimes during the Troubles.
Last Friday, the Fianna Fáil Taoiseach met with the Tory Prime Minister on a number of issues. The Taoiseach said of the Ballymurphy verdict and his meeting with Boris Johnson, and I think the British Prime Minister, you know, is fully appraised of it, and I think he will respond in his own way in his own time. That's really quite insulting. Insulting to our Taoiseach, insulting to the families of the Ballymurphy massacre as well, that he would even accept that from the British Prime Minister. Further unnecessary upset was caused to the families and many, many others around the North with the ill-conceived talk of an amnesty for British soldiers' actions during the Troubles. I see the Taoiseach apparently warned Johnson against such a move in their meeting last week, but how strong was this warning? I suppose we'll never really know. An amnesty cannot happen. Some families are only now getting some justice and answers. Many will never get any answers. But procedures must be in place to allow people to look for justice and for criminal prosecutions where appropriate. I support the calls of the ICCL and the Committee for the Administration of Justice that we need assurances from the British government that it will not seek to curtail further legacy inquests through its proposed Northern Ireland Legacy Bill. What sort of warning did the Taoiseach give, I wonder? How strongly was it conveyed to the British Prime Minister that we will not accept such an amnesty?
And that was Deputy Thomas Pringle speaking in the Dáil. Well, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson today issued an apology in the House of Commons to the families of the Ballymurphy massacre. Boris Johnson had been criticised for not addressing the matter in Parliament previously. He has now written to the families of the victims, and in the House of Commons this afternoon, he had this to say.
On behalf of successive governments, and to put on the record in this House, I would like to say sorry to their families for how the investigations were handled and for the pain they've endured since their campaign began almost 5 decades ago. No apology, Mr. Speaker, can lessen their lasting pain. I hope they take some comfort in the answers they have secured.
And the weather forecast, Met Air and tell us this evening will bring us a mix of sunny spells and patchy cloud. Some well scattered showers possible, but many places will remain dry with sunny spells. Winds light to moderate westerly in direction. The showers will continue to clear early tonight with long clear spells developing. However, the cloud will build again toward dawn ahead of a band of rain spreading from the southwest. Some heavy falls expected. Light variable winds will become southeasterly and increase fresh to strong with the approaching rain. Lowest overnight temperatures 3 to 5 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow morning wet and windy with continued outbreaks of rain turning heavy at times, bringing a risk of some spot flooding. The rain will turn lighter and patchier in the evening. Fresh to strong and gusty southeasterly winds will ease back moderate to fresh through the afternoon. Highest temperatures tomorrow 11 or 12 degrees Celsius. Looking at the headlines this evening, the Tánaiste says time limits will not be in place for diners when restaurants and pubs reopen next month. They'll initially be allowed to serve outdoors only. Hotels can serve indoors from June 2nd. And the Tánaiste, Leo Varadkar, believes indoor dining will not be far behind. Possibly, he said, the first week of July. The hackers at the centre of the HSE cyber attack have shared some people's private and sensitive information online with a newspaper. Meanwhile, the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital has confirmed no services will resume this week as a result of the impact of the cyber attack on the HSE. The jurors in the trial of a woman accused of murdering her three children in County Dublin have retired to begin their deliberations. The children's father, Andrew McGinley, is from Donegal Town. Their mother was, she claims, insane at the time. Back with news again at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 19th of May. The death has taken place at his residence of Albert Hepburn, Trentemuckla, St Johnson. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral service at Craigadoos Parish Church on Friday at 1 o'clock with interment afterwards in the family plot in St Eunan's Cathedral, Raphoe. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family pleas with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Association, care of Gibson Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Winifred Lafferty, née Marley, 26 Tullymone Road, Claddy, formerly of Crossroads, Killygordon. Funeral from her home tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Columbus Church, Dunnyloop, at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish Facebook page. And the death has taken place of Sally Quinn, née McQuilkin, late of 19, Sheerton Park, Foyle Springs, formerly of Narn, Port New, County Donegal. Due to restrictions, the house and funeral are limited to family and close friends only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the St. Columbus Church Log Tower webcam tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St. Mary's Cemetery, Ardmore. Family flowers only, please.